Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Want new inventory? They have it. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee because they go over every vehicle, fine-tooth comb, every time. And a terrific service department, whether it's routine or difficult, they take great care of your vehicle. Comes time to trade in for your next SMC vehicle, it's in great shape. And they need more technicians. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so let's get to our play-by-play call of the day.
Seawall, the 1-2. Swing and a high fly ball right field. Playable for Carroll near the line. Carroll under it. He's got it, and that does it. The Arizona Diamondbacks are going to the World Series. The Cinderella run of the Arizona Diamondbacks continues. They're the National League champions, and they knock off the Phillies in seven.
I think that was John Shambi, I think, on ESPN Radio last night.
You are correct.
Okay. So they're in, and game one is Friday night in Arlington. And I would guess that Zach Gallen will get the ball for Arizona in that game, in game one. And Nathan Eovaldi will probably get the ball for the Rangers in game one on Friday. So we kind of been able to navigate this show with your disgust on several levels. But we aren't done.
No, we're not done, in fact.
No, everybody run for the hills.
I have two more things on the docket.
Two more? Oh, good. See, we've got 2.5 hours remaining in the show. We got enough to fill. No need for me to think the rest of the day. We're good.
Bingo!
I've decided to just put it on hold. Go ahead.
Well, this one has to do with James Harden. So he was away from the team for personal reasons. Who knows what that was about. Then he shows back up yesterday and is apparently was going to try to meet the team in Milwaukee for the opener tomorrow night. But now the Sixers have told him to not travel with the team and stay behind. And I think that's a good thing. Because it's enough with his selfishness, it's enough with his antics, of whatever he wants, his trade demands. This guy is a cancer, and I think the Sixers are making the right move by not making him show up for game one, and I hope he doesn't play a single regular season game. Doc Rivers was just on Dan Patrick's show a little while ago before we came on, and he gave some pretty eye-opening observations about James Harden and dealing with him last year. Because in the beginning part of the season, James Harden was actually a pretty good teammate, was playing an actual point guard, and the Sixers were playing great basketball. Second half of the season in the playoffs, much different story, and here we are right now. Doc Rivers was asked by Dan Patrick what changed with James Harden. You know what he said? He didn't make the All-Star team. And that's why he changed back to the way he was. Because he didn't make the All-Star team. I mean, that's just as bad as it gets. And there's your answer right here for a type of guy that James Harden is. Clearly about himself, about his own stats, about his own brand, his own stardom. because he didn't make his 75,000th All-Star game, he decided to play like a brat for the Sixers and totally was part of the way they derailed their season and not getting past the second round yet again. I mean, that just shows you the type of guy this guy is. You know what? I don't want him in a Sixer uniform anymore. He can sit down, collect the money, whatever he wants to do, go to Houston, go to L.A. for a bucket of balls. I could care less at this point. I don't want this guy with the franchise anymore. Zipola. Done. And the fact that anybody would take on this guy shows how naive you are, that he's going to change or he's going to bring this flash to your franchise. No. It's all going to blow up in your face. And it will for the Clippers or anybody else that tries to take this guy back.
So we should put you down as a no?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, really, you didn't make the All-Star team.
Okay. So my response to that would be nothing you said there. Going against, okay? So I'm going to chime in support of what you're saying. I think early in the career, there's something really cool about being in the All-Star game. You know, it's kind of like that exclusive club and everything that goes with it and the parties and the introductions and playing in the game and you're side by side with LeBron and Curry and all that. Okay, I got it. But there is a point in your career, there has to be, to me, if you're worth your salt, and as you know, I've never been a big James Harden fan, as you know that. Even when he was scoring a boatload of points, I was not a James Harden fan. I was like going, okay, that's fine. You take that many shots, you're going to score points. But there, if you're worth your salt in sports, there has to be some moment in time where winning a championship is the single most important thing to you. Like, you can sit there all you want and say, you know what? I didn't make the All-Star game. What's more valuable in terms of how you are perceived? It's more valuable how you're perceived if you win a championship as opposed to making the All-Star game. Man, I can't tell you if Jamal Murray made the All-Star game last year, but guess what? I can tell you that he has a ring. And that's what it's all about. And especially if you get older in your career, if you're worth anything, you've got to value it more. He got to the finals with Oklahoma City as the sixth man. Where, by the way, he played very well. In Houston, he kept getting, he could only get so far. He got to the Western Conference Finals, and they weren't good enough, and he wasn't good enough. He did not perform well in the Conference Finals. Brooklyn, they were treading water. Now he goes to Philadelphia. They give him Joel Embiid, terrific regular season player in the playoffs. I mean, I know Philadelphia fans don't want to hear that, but that's a fact. He's not been a big game performer in the playoffs when you've needed him. All right, and this was an opportunity. This was his Oscar Robertson moment. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will tell you, they'll ask, who's the best point guard you ever played with? And everybody, of course, will right away say it's Magic Johnson. His answer is Oscar Robertson. Oscar Robertson came over from the Cincinnati Royals. The guy averaged a triple-double one season. But he didn't have a championship. And Oscar Robertson at the end could care less about making the All-Star game. He wanted to be a champion. And guess what? Oscar Robertson's entire career is viewed differently because he won that title with the Bucks, with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Lucius Allen and Flynn Robinson and all those guys from that team. And he was the key because he checked his game in at the door, and when they needed him to score, he scored. When they needed him to pass, he passed. When they needed him to play defense, he did. That's why I brought up that comparison. I think we had Kate Scott and Ala Abdelnaby on during the playoffs last year. I brought up that comparison a couple of times because that's always the guy I looked at. Kevin Garnett goes to the Celtics. Why did it mean so much to him go to the Celtics? Because Kevin Garnett wanted badly to win a title. Badly wanted to win a title. Now Kevin Garnett's entire career is completely different in terms of perception, because in 2008, he had that title. He always would have been looked at, Garnett, in more of the Tracy McGrady mode of, wow, great player, but couldn't get out of the first round of the playoffs because he didn't have enough people around him, not because of McGrady. McGrady was a terrific player in his own right, an all-star. But there's something about being a champion and having a ring that has to override and supersede anything, especially if you're a player of Harden's age. And for him to get upset about not making the All-Star game, who cares? Everything had to be about winning the ring, because if he wanted to really give everyone the perception of being one of the great players, part of that perception of being one of the great players is to have a championship. And he never got close with that with Philadelphia, even though he was an upgrade from Ben Simmons. And when you start caring more about yourself than you are about the bigger picture, that's a big problem. That's a in anything. We've lectured the suit about this repeatedly. No, I'm just kidding. When it's about you and not the overall big picture, you have a problem. I don't care what you're doing, football, basketball team, office. This is something Jack Ham and I talk about in the broadcast all the time. That's why neither one of us cares who talks. It's what's the best broadcast. Awesome teammate to me. In turn, I try to be an awesome teammate to him. Who cares who gets it? Credit, who cares? The game's the whole thing, not the guys announcing it. The championship's the whole thing, all right? It's the whole thing. Does it matter if you score 4 points and dish off 10 assists and you win? Or is it really great for you to get 34, dish off 2 assists, and lose? It's about the final on the board, and he's never understood that. It was more important to him, it sounds like, from Doc Rivers, to be a part of the club than it was to actually help his club. So that's my response.
It's just, I didn't make the All-Star game. Well, guess what? I can't get my kids potty trained yet. Please.
Oh, I don't think we ought to go there. All right. That's really an indictment on the kids. It's an indictment on you guys as parents.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
I think it's making a lot of people squirm right now.
Yeah, it's probably a better idea. I apologize.
A lot of people in the car are like going, I don't know.
TMI, my bad.
It's like, oh my goodness. And, you know, and there's also a segment of the population going like, what the heck's going on with those kids? All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door, and some things that don't. Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
Didn't exactly end the previous segment on a high note. It was depressing.
actually was quite the low note, literally.
I mean, it's just... Hey, what's going on in that house? I mean, you know, I mean, if you would stop teaching them how to spell Eagles, it may be concentrating on something. Come on.
E-I-G-O-E-S-U-S.
How about P-O-T-T-Y? Let's go. All right.
Yeah, I've done it very similarly. Yeah.
Yeah, but not for you, for them. Jeez. Mercy me. All right. So the game on Saturday is the most watched Big Ten game of the season so far. 9.96 million viewers, almost 10 million. Of the games on Fox, big noon kickoff. Indiana, Michigan was 3.55. Maryland, Ohio State was 4.51. Michigan, Nebraska, 4.48. Ohio State, Notre Dame. Well, that ended up being on NBC 9.98. So that's not big noon. Penn State, Illinois, 3.22. Nebraska, Colorado, 8.75. Ohio State, Indiana, 4.65. I mean, that's why. See, what happened, like, people ask about big noon all the time. Okay. So let me give you a simple explanation on why Fox is doing big noon kickoff. Over the years, there are four time slots: noon, 3:30, 7:30, 10:30. You know, 7 or 7:30, whatever it happens to be. Okay? So we'll go noon, 3:30, 7, 10:30. Of the four, whenever Fox put a big game into the noon time slot, they won. I'm talking about viewership, they won. That's why they decided to go all in on the big noon kickoff, because that was the one time slot out of four they were winning. And they wanted to couple that with, obviously, their pregame show. And that's why they continue to do the noon kickoffs, which are not popular with the fans. Even when they're on the road, they're not popular with the fans. Now, people are going to watch. I mean, we're talking about Penn State, Ohio State getting a shade under 10 million viewers. That's like, whoa. I mean, that's something else. I think it's the second highest rated game of the entire year. But that's why they do it. So did we safely negotiate your last rant?
Yes, and this is also NBA related.
Well, we'll do that in the last half hour, because your last rant turned into two.
That's true, yes.
I mean, ripping your kids on the air.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells foul down.
And giving America the the squirmy, like, something's wrong in that house feeling.
Fair enough.
I just, now you're going to go home. Why did Daddy do that to us? Daddy's under a lot of pressure. It still hurts. And we'd like to exclude John Paul. I mean, he's only, what, 2 months old, so I mean...
Oh, yeah, this is with Mark and Luke. This has nothing to do with John Paul yet.
Oh, now we're naming the kids. All right. Okay. I tried to bail out one kid. I wasn't trying to do it at the expense of the others. Now, I mean, they're going to go to preschool, whatever. Hey, I heard about you in the radio. Hey. What's going on there? You don't need it. But you have one more. It's an NBA-related one.
Correct.
America awaits. SI, by the way, Sports Illustrated, SI.com. And who wrote it? I'm going to see who wrote the article. It was written by Richard Johnson. says in a lengthy text exchange from 2021, Connor Stallions boasted of sign-stealing and close relations with the Michigan whole staff. Said he envisioned leading Michigan football one day, and to prepare was creating a hundreds-page-long document called the Michigan Manifesto. Boy, I haven't been that concerned since I saw the suit manifesto. I mean, Doug Birdsong and I were, like, horrified.
Turned it S-U-I-T, that spells suit!
Turned it into the authorities. FBI was very intrigued. So, just so you know how long he's actually been on the staff. He did a lot of volunteer work around them with signs from 17 to 22. All right. From 15 to 22. He actually was put on the Michigan staff at $55,000 a year in the spring of 2022. So he's been there officially on staff for 18 months. And again, if you can look at TV tapes and can decipher what's going on, hey, good for you. You win. All right? It's legal. And if you want to have the ability during the game to figure it out, legal. Doing what he is alleged to have done and how intricate it happens to be, no. You have an entire conference that is furious about this. Had the Ohio State game played out where they allowed the two people in on Saturday, it would have been, based on reporting, the fourth Ohio State game that they would have had signs from, and it would have been the third Penn State game.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We have made it to the final half hour here on the Steve Jones Show on Wednesday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. Terrific sales staff that is there for you every step of the way. And a service department that is there for you with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance. Hey, they're looking for more of those excellent technicians as well, if you're interested. All part of the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Did you read the suit manifesto? My goodness, this is 200 pages. Most of it's misspelled. All right, so let's...
No, señor!
So let's get to your final rant.
So as I said, this is NBA related. So Brian Windhorst, who I actually think does a pretty good job covering the NBA for ESPN, put this statement out there yesterday, I believe it was, talking about Victor Wembanyama, who, of course, makes his debut, I believe, tonight, if not tomorrow night, against the Dallas Mavericks. And he said that Wemby's, quote, vastly advanced skill-wise than LeBron. Okay. I get there's a lot of hoopla, a lot of excitement around this guy, but enough with the gushing before he even takes a minute out there for a regular season game. Okay, I get the guy 7'5". I get the athleticism and all that. All right, we haven't seen that kind of specimen before in the NBA. But for Pete's sake, this guy was playing in Europe. This is the NBA. This is a whole lot more different. Guys are bigger, faster, stronger over here than they are overseas. Let's watch him play a few games first before we start making him this star that we think he is, but let alone think he's better than LeBron at this point of his career. I mean, are we serious? LeBron's supposed to be the golden boy, first of all, number one. I thought nobody could be better than him in this day and age of national media gushing over the NBA. But now we've gone over the top saying this kid is vastly advanced than LeBron James when he first came in, who's one of the greatest basketball players ever. What are we doing here? Let the kid play before we go and throw all these crazy stats. Like, enough already. Like, this stuff never ends, especially in the NBA.
Is he potty trained? Sorry.
I would hope he is, but, you know, maybe not, because that might be an advantage. I don't know.
I was hoping your kids would be at this point. No, I'm just kidding. I have all these goals. All right. This does go back to what I talked about yesterday. So let's go back to 2004. Athens Olympics. And this is the one where Cale Sanderson won his gold medal in wrestling. And the U.S. basketball team had guys like, I mean, listen to this team. But it was the kiddie, except for, like, Allen Iverson was the older guy. Stephon Marbury, Dwayne Wade, Carlos Boozer, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron, Emeka Okafor, Sean Marion, Amari Stoudemire, Tim Duncan, Lamar Odom, Richard Jefferson. All right. And in the end, the United States finished fourth in the group stage. So, when you go through all of it, they decided they wanted to put all the young players on display. And in putting the young players on display, they didn't win. The United States ended up being the bronze medalist. Argentina beat Italy for the gold. But the U.S. ended up winning the bronze with that kind of, quote, talent, but it was the young talent. The NBA at that point, they'd been warned by some people. Hey, guys, just because we're NBA players doesn't mean we can roll out anybody and win. Well, they didn't. They ended up getting the bronze medal. Beat Australia for it. And that was the key to the whole thing. And flat out didn't get it. And that's, I mean, the NBA, after winning in 92, winning 96, winning in 2000, thought they could throw anybody out there and win. And no. I mean, they got to the semifinals, lost to Argentina. I think they beat it was Lithuania they beat for the bronze. All right? And they thought they could throw out anybody there and win. They played Argentina in the semifinals, lost. I mean, they lost by 8 points. That's why 2008 was so important. Mike Krzyzewski comes in. Kobe Bryant says he's going to play. And this is where we are now with the NBA. Before anybody plays a game, they think they can hype you into believing all these great things to get you interested to watch. And that's what we're seeing here. That's what we're seeing here. They're trying to hype everybody into watching. I mean, he needs a little more muscle, a little more weight. He moves beautifully for a big man. He passes beautifully for a big man. He has a good shot. All right. Excellent ball skills. So he has all of that. But he needs a little more beef. He needs more talent around him. And we're going to have to find out, as you point out, on a game-by-game basis, how good he really is. You know, in the Summer League, he didn't perform that well in the two games in the Summer League. You're like, okay. And they quickly shut it. You know, I'll say, hey, we're going to shut it down. That's good. And I said, well, why'd you shut it down so fast? Because I think they were worried that the phenom wasn't playing like a phenom. So we'll see. I mean, when LeBron was a rookie, LeBron was a better built player. Could mix it up inside. Was a really good passer. Terrific rebounder. But his outside shot was left wanting. I watched Wembanyama. Good floor game. Nice passer. Good shot. Right, length, obviously. But a guy that, you know, let's face it. Do you think Joel Embiid is going to let him establish his spot on the floor? Embiid's going to take him. He's going to shove him out to 20 feet.
Luka won't either tomorrow night.
So, you know, it's just, you know, he'll get more shots and, you know, he'll probably end up averaging 15 to 22 a game somewhere in there because he's going to get a lot of shots. And he's going to miss out, by the way, on a lot of assists because that's not a good shooting team. So there you go. I mean, will you even watch Wembanyama, or is he on your list of, like, boycotts?
I might try to watch a little bit just to see for myself, and then I can feel vindicated, or I can go vomit if these people are actually true. Because it is true, then that's all I'm going to hear for the entire NBA season, and it's just going to be nauseating for 82 games plus.
Or you do what I do, not pay attention.
I might also do that too, but I may not watch because I'm already nauseated by it. So I don't know. I have to weigh my options yet.
To weigh your options?
Correct.
I see. Does the NBA know you're weighing your options?
I think it's known for a while now. I've always had a love-hate relationship with the NBA.
Well, if I had a team that couldn't get through the second round, I'd have a love-hate relationship with it too.
No, señor!
I mean, there you are. That's the issue. Now, it did start last night. Denver beat the Lakers, I think.
Correct, and Jalen Pickett got his first NBA points in the latter part of the game.
Good. There you go. So there you go. It's good to get J-Pick going. And Dick and I talked about certain guys that we thought that Pickett and Lundy could be NBA players. You know, and this is from conversations we have with different people. I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, I see this, this, this. The NBA is a little more... they're looking for a different kind of player that fits what they want to do. And so it's only in conversation with scouts and so forth that we kind of pick up tidbits here and there as to what they think a player can be like on their level. So, yeah. Yeah, that's so they are. Penn State, Indiana, Saturday. Here's the bottom line on the game. You can't, and I've said this before, so this is not one of those profound statement moments, just me repeating something I've said before. You can't have one loss affect you, make it two. You can't let the Ohio State game hang over you when it comes to what you want to do. You got to go back to work. Now, they did that yesterday. And they've got another one coming up today. Got another one coming up today.
Right. How was the tone at quarterback club today?
Good. Good. I mean, he got to ask good questions. You got to ask them. I mean, I'm not going to give away the answers. Because, you know, what happens there stays there. But I can tell you about the questions. First of all, there are questions about, he always does a video presentation on the game of football. And today was about gap versus zone scheme on blocking. You know, this is after I asked him a few questions. You know, I asked about third down and things like that. You know, and he got asked about if he considered changing quarterbacks. He got asked about whether or not, the running back on a handoff has downward momentum as opposed to handing it off in the shotgun. And he got asked about that and a few other things. So, you know. But it was fine. The tone and tenor was, you know, he volunteered, about a fourth and one where they had 12 guys in the field. You know. You know,
was just curious.
Yeah, no, it wasn't one of those like everybody squirmed through the day thing. It was a crowd between 300 and 400, and it was good. And the players today were Malik McLean and Venga Ioane. I had Venga give his full name to the crowd. And it really emphasized to me why we call him Venga Ioane. He said that he's also, his teammates also call him V. But, so.
I just thought all the questions about switching quarterbacks was just completely ludicrous.
Well, I mean, look, everybody played a role offensively. And what happened Saturday? The offensive line could have protected better, could have done a better job in the running game. The receivers could have done a better job of getting separation, and Drew could have done a better job of delivering the ball. Okay? It's not one guy. It's a whole collection of things that happen. Right? And I know that's it's easy to pin something on one guy. Right. But, you know, I mean, what's the reason why McCord missed seven consecutive passes at one point? Penn State's defense is pretty good. Well, Ohio State's defense, to its credit, is pretty good. So there you go. All right, we'll take a break. I feel like today has helped you release. You're going to get to Cedacog, and this is all going to become pent up, and it's going to cause office problems because you will not have a release.
It is starting to dawn on me. That's concerning.
That's why I put it out there. I wanted local authorities to know that they might get called over there 2-3 times a week. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Have you had to make any changes or alterations to the way you prepare or call a game or to your signs because of this, the alleged sign stealing issues at Michigan? Has that affected the way you've worked over the past year at all?
Well, first of all, I think you do that in general, right? You do that in general. You got to have a way to disguise your signals. Everybody does it, whether they do it with sheets or boards or whatever it may be. And we made some changes after the bye week as well in how we operate on offense and defense. You know, specific to that, I probably won't get into, you know, what's going on at that other school and the things that are going on. I probably won't get into that. But I think in general, we're always aware of how we signal. Are we disguising it? I mean, what happens is you get to after games and you feel like you called a very unpredictable call in a situation, and they're in the perfect defense for it. And you're sitting there saying, well, how is that? What would ever make you play cover two on fourth and one and we're in a heavy personnel group? But they're in it, and you got a shot called there. You know, those things kind of make you kind of second guess, and you kind of go back and look at those things and what you need to do to disguise it. And if it happens once, that's one thing. But if it happens over and over, then you're aware of it. But obviously, with some of the things that are going on right now, it magnifies it.
Yep. It's I believe Michigan has a bye week. I feel like the next week is going to be pivotal as to what kind of decisions are made about what decisions are and what decisions are not made about the situation, because you have a lot of people in the conference that are mad.